The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook app.
Use promo code WMVP.
Tune in every Friday for the official Waddle and Sylvie same game parlay on the DraftKings Sportsbook app.
21 years or older, Illinois only. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
Live from State Street and the old National Bank Studio, this is Waddle and Sylvie. See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Or listen to the ESPN Chicago app, ESPN 1000 and 100.3 HD2.
This is WMVP, WSHE HD2 Chicago.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
It's a gorgeous day, and we're actually broadcasting outside. There have been many, many nice days in the past where I'm like, wouldn't it be nice if we could broadcast outside and enjoy the great weather while we have it? Today's one of those days.
You ask and you shall receive.
Jewel Osco, the one in the city on Des Plaines in Milwaukee. I used to live right over there.
Where at?
Right there. You hit the Starbucks on Lake.
Yeah.
A little south of here.
Okay.
You hook a left on Lake. You head east.
Go east.
And then Lake and Canal.
Gotcha. There's right across from the Clayton?
Yes.
Gotcha.
And right where the Gibson's Italia is, across from that. And none of that was there when I lived there. It's an orange brick building. I lived there like in 2005 to 2010.
All right. So,
a good 4 or 5 year period right there.
Your humble abode for five or six years.
A loop dwelling, and I would walk.
Two bedroom, one bedroom?
It was one and a bonus.
Ooh.
The thing where they give you like a little room that's basically the size of a closet beside your master, and they called it a bonus room. So it was like.
You said bonus, right?
Bonus, yeah. So this used to
What'd
be.
What'd you do in the bonus room?
It was where, like.
Is that dedicated to Bulls basketball? A lot of posters?
Yeah. Those were all over. I made it like a den.
Okay.
A little den area. Yeah, little it's den. Where I put the PlayStation back in the day while we were still playing the video games and everything. And I'd go in there and I'd sit in the chair and I'd play some video games.
Small refrigerator that housed all the champagne that you were going to use after Bulls victories?
Back in the day, there was one fridge.
Oh, okay.
That's it. We got one fridge.
Now you have what, three? One in the garage, one in the house, and a smaller one downstairs?
There's one in the basement, one in the kitchen, and then like a wine fridge. Are you fridge shaming me right now? Is that what you're doing?
I'm just identifying your fridges, that's all.
So come on out and have some free Connie's Frozen Pizza samples. It is absolutely awesome. A great partnership we have with these guys. Come on by. You can you always say, tailgate, bring a lawn chair.
Whatever you want.
I've got an extra lawn chair in the RAV4.
So if you come out,
I will let the first one gets my lawn chair, and you can set up and you can watch.
Perfect.
Right there. I got one of those Coleman chairs.
Do you have any sunblock?
No sunblock.
Okay.
No. Uh-uh. Mark Potash does great work covering the Bears. He's covered the Bears for years and years. And for the Chicago Sun-Times, and he joins us right now on ESPN 1000. What's up, Potsy? You know all about the grocery store living, don't you?
I know all about the grocery store.
Grocery store living, you grew up in it, the Potash brothers and everything.
I grew up in the grocery store, so
right.
I know about that, but I'm a one-fridge guy, I guess.
One-fridge guy?
You're not living life, my friend. I mean, you don't have a second fridge in the house?
No. Yeah, that's one of my big regrets. I have not had your life, Sylvie.
Well, where are you putting all your beer? Like, I mean, the fridge is for food. You got to have somewhere else to put all your beer.
No, I don't drink beer, so I never heard of that problem.
He's like Merc.
Is
I
he?
Think he's got a little
yes,
Merc.
Hey, yes, very good.
Potsy, did I sense this correctly, or was it just tongue-in-cheek from you? Before kickoff, you had talked yourself into a Bears win in Lambeau on Sunday night, had you not?
Yeah, and then if you read that thread, I talked myself out of it by the end of it. So I was right.
I love it. You're setting it up perfectly. You're having a conversation with yourself in a thread. That is Mark Potash personified.
That's fantastic.
That's the Bears' existence. If you've been a Bear fan, I think you would really kind of identify with that feeling. It's like you have all this hope, and then you think about it, and the more you think about it, especially at Lambeau Field, Aaron Rodgers, nah. And sure enough, that's what happened.
I know you don't, covering the team, your job is not to be, quote, emotionally invested. but I know that you want to see it work. You've covered a lot of bad teams. I am asking people this question on the poll. It was a big talking point in yesterday's show. It continues throughout the week. It's a simple question. Bears fans, are you nervous about Justin Fields? It's not about giving up. It's not about calling him a bust. It's not saying that he can't develop. It's just right now your emotion. Are you nervous? In an hour, we've had 4,500 votes on my Twitter handle. 57.3% of the people say yes. They are nervous over Justin Fields. How would you answer that question?
Yeah, I would agree. I would say if I were a fan, I'd be nervous. So I guess as a reporter, I'd say I'm skeptical. I think we've reached a point, and again, you know, we do so much. You know, there's no such thing as a rebuilding year anymore because we look at everything so under a microscope that everything is defining, and we're always defining where the team is. But I'll say 2 weeks into a second season, I think it's starting to pick. I get it that, you know, we're not really seeing that kind of light at the end of the tunnel or the future. We're not seeing where, even compared to last year with some of those games against the 49ers and Pittsburgh where he made some plays, we're not seeing that yet. And so I agree. I think I said today in my story today, he's shown no more that he's going to be the guy than Trubisky ever did, really. I mean, if you think about it, and I think he's better. He's a better quarterback. But right now, we just haven't seen it. So, yeah, I would agree. I think that's a fair, as long as there's going to be this micro-analysis, I definitely agree. I think that's fair to wonder, is he going to make it? And that's why I think the big question is, you know, have the Bear, going back to what we asked at the beginning of the year was, you know, have they given him enough help to develop? And I think that's going to be an ongoing thing unless things happen quickly here in the next few weeks.
With that in mind, Potsy, that's where I was going next, is the skepticism equal parts? He hasn't been as good as you thought. He's not protected well. There's not a lot in the offensive huddle on the flank. The offense isn't direct. However you want to dole out responsibility for this, is it a little bit of everything in your world?
Well, it always is, but I got to say, the big difference I saw from the very beginning when we saw Justin Fields at the very first camp, mini camp, was that he just seemed to have more of an instinct for the position than Trubisky. That was kind of my big take from when I saw him, is that Trubisky was very mechanical. I called him, you know, he was like an assembly required quarterback, where, you know, we're like a Patrick Mahomes is plug and play, right? So I saw him as more closer to that plug and play or instinctive type guy, but that hasn't really developed. I got to admit, I haven't seen that instinct for the position. Even the things he's supposed to be good at, like touch on deep balls and things like that, I have not seen. It doesn't mean it can't happen or it can't happen. But right now, I would say that's really my biggest concern about that is he just hasn't looked like, you know, Joe Burrow. When you saw him as a rookie, he just had that it factor, you know, and I don't see it right now in Justin Fields.
Do you believe, like what Waddle said, that maybe the staff is huddling here on game plan day? They're saying to themselves, you know, we're in rebuild mode. Our game plan was too close to the vest. We're not, while we always are in it to win it, like the big thing here is to develop. And we need to come up with more of a game plan to see more from Fields and give him the opportunity to throw it more. Do you agree that that's what they're talking about right now?
Heading into the Texans game?
Yes.
I can't say I think that. I don't think they're thinking like that. I don't think they're thinking like that, to tell you the truth. I think they're still in trying to win the game mode. That's a big question, I guess. Will they, you know, how much will they adjust to what happened? But no, I'm not sure if they're going along like that. They have to see. I think it's almost like it's the opposite. They really want to take step by step with Fields because they know that he just doesn't have the mechanics. I mean, not the mechanics. He doesn't have the support system around him. The offensive line could be good, but right now those guys have only played two games together. You look at the receiving core, and they're getting nothing out of the guys they expected to. So. So I think they see this as more of a step-by-step thing, and I'm not saying they'll throw 11 passes, and that'll be an interesting thing. I always talk about that again today, too, was, you know, remember we had that issue with Matt Nagy when he ran seven times against the Saints, and then he totally overcompensated and used, like, the I formation, something that isn't even his offense, and ran 38 times against the Chargers. Well, that was like a red flag that, hey, this guy is just, you know, is not quite what we thought he was. So now let's see what Getsy does with Fields. So I think they're not going to throw 11 times again, but I don't think they're going to throw 50 times either, and I'm fairly confident this guy will find the middle ground, especially against the Texans as opposed to the Packers.
Yeah,
and Potsy, so that's what I think it's all about. But no, I don't think they've changed their game plan at all for Fields, to tell you the truth. I think they're just they're very insistent on just being this really step by step, you know, get better game by game approach.
My premise is the following: look, if you know, you made the statement that you're rebuilding by the personnel decisions they made in the offseason. If you're trying to win all these games, you probably keep Khalil Mack and you keep Akeem Hicks and you keep James Daniel and you keep some of these guys. It seems like these two things are fighting against one another. And again, it's two games. But you've decided to move on and to build. And you can do both. You can protect your quarterback and also try to develop him at the same time. Like you said, it doesn't have to be 50 passes, but it can't be 11 attempts anymore. Because at the end of the day, this team is more likely going to lose than win more games. So why not in the process, Potsy, at least put him in some situations where you can evaluate him?
I'm 100% in favor of that, Tom. In fact, I think I said at the very beginning when this thing first started, like, you know, when they hired the new coaching staff, the best result for this team, I think I've told you guys, the best result for this team is to have Justin Fields still standing at the end of the season and have and win few enough games to get a top five pick. I've always said this season to me, I said this before, is about developing their Joe Burrow and then drafting their Ja'Marr Chase. That's the template. That's the template that they should be following, is trying to get more weapons for Fields, but also develop Fields. So I agree. I think the best thing is for them to do exactly what you're saying, is to do everything they can to keep him upright. But that doesn't necessarily mean they have to do everything they can to win every game, because I kind of sense right now, after the first two games, they're kind of headed to that 8-9 no man's land that I think some people feared, where they're not a playoff team, but they're not going to be able to get that, you know, that receiver or whatever they need. So that's where they're heading. But I, to answer your question, I think I totally agree with you. I'm totally on board with that. But you know that. NFL coaches don't think like that. They're not going to do that. Otherwise, the Bears would have tanked in 97 and gotten Peyton Manning. But they just don't think like that. You know, they're 0-7 that year. Can you believe it?
We got to give it to Raymond Curtis Enos.
So, I mean, that's just the way NFL teams think.
That was some miserable times covering that team. I want to play you some sound here, Potsy. First of all, this is a soundbite that you know. I'm not sure if you were in the exact press conference at the time or in the locker room, but a lot of fans were offended by this. And I'm always pro-fan. I like to think that I speak up for the fan a lot of the times. I'm not on board, though, with crushing Fields for this. I want your thoughts on what you would tell Fields about what he said here. Take a listen with the question.
Yeah. Just losing against this team, does it sting more because of the rivalry and you know how much Bears fans want to win this game?
Yeah. I mean, it hurts more in the locker room than the Bears fans. I mean, because at the end of the day, they're not putting in any work. I see the guys in the locker room every day. I see how much work they put in. So just coming out with a disappointing loss like this, you know, it hurts. But, you know, we just got to respond.
So that is put in a graphic, and a lot of people are calling in. Cap ripped him 2 days ago. What do you make of what he said? You know, there are do's and don'ts when speaking about fans. What kind of offense is this?
I didn't have a problem with it. I thought he was correct. He worded it not maybe as well as he will in a few years from now. But the, you know, his point is well taken. You know, and I understand why fans are upset too. You know, there's a big difference. Yeah, both fans and players are both passionate about what they do, but the difference for fans is that they don't control it, and there's a frustration there when you don't, and so you feel like you feel the pain more. you know, Justin Fields can make a difference. He can, the Bears can win or lose depending on what he does. The fan doesn't have that same thing. I think that, and as a fan myself, that's a big frustration. That's why sometimes you do feel like, oh man, this hurts us more than it hurts them, because we stay here all year and they go back to wherever. I mean, that's in all sports. So I get it why fans think that, but I think Justin Fields was absolutely justified in saying what he said. Like I said, a few years from now, he'll be able to say it, you know, a little bit. He'll be able to finesse it a little better. Yeah. But his point's well taken.
I think maybe the biggest defense is maybe it's a little sloppy, Potsy, because I think there are a lot of hosts in this town who took this out of context, where they're phrasing it like Justin Fields said, the fans don't care. He said it hurts the players more than it hurts the fans. It's there in black and white. Of course, Justin Fields is playing for his career. He is playing to make it in the National Football League. After a loss to Green Bay, he's not telling you that the fans don't care. He's not telling. He's on the practice field. He's running and getting hit. He's frustrated, and no one can feel more hurt than he does after a game like that. And that's all he's simply saying.
Yeah, I agree, and you know, that's just the world we live in now, as you well know, and he was not putting the fans down or anything like that. I mean, it was, you know, it's a tough comparison to make, because you can't win as an athlete, but there's two different dynamics: the relationship a player has to his team and the goal of winning, and a fan and the relationship a fan has. So, like I was, you know, saying before, so it's a tough thing. But no, I have no problem with what he said, and I think it's silly to think that was an anti-fan statement. I think Justin Fields was right to say it. He could have said it better, but not a big deal. I know it's not a sports radio thing to say, but it's not a big deal to me. I totally look over that.
It didn't light our wick in any way, shape, or form.
I think it's dumb.
Who's this cap guy you're talking about?
I don't know.
Hey, Potsy, what else from what you've seen the first 2 weeks has stuck with you? Has it been the lack of production, whether it's Mooney or it's Cole Kmet? Is it the defense that has been, you know, pretty susceptible to the run against both the 49ers and the Packers? What is sticking in your brain other than the quarterback?
Well, I'll be honest. I think this team is exactly where I thought they'd be, you know, before the season. If you take out all the extra things we saw, like in training camp and all that, the fluff you get out of that, and the first win against the 49ers, what I saw, with the exception of obviously the Kmet Mooney thing, you know, what I saw is exactly where I thought the Bears would be. They, you know, this was like a correction I expected. Because this is where the Bears are. I don't know, because I think like the one good thing about that, the disparity between the run-pass thing that from the other night, I think the good thing is at least they ran the ball. Now, maybe they ran because the Packers, with a big lead, thought the Bears were going to pass. I don't know. I'm not sure. But I think anytime you run the ball, it's good in football. I guess I'm a Lovie Smith kind of guy like that, you know, as far as if you can run the ball, that's a good thing. So I think that is good. But I think they are exactly where I thought they'd be, and I'm trying to think if there's any. The only thing that kind of is mystifying is I remember asking Ryan Poles like about the whole issue with Fields, and did you give him enough support? And his response was that, you know, we'll do it from within. And the three guys he pointed to were like Velus Jones and Darnell Mooney. Remember Mooney's balling, stuff like that, and Cole Kmet. And the three of those guys have like two catches for 4 yards. Of course, Velus hasn't played yet, so I mean that's. But it's just funny how like the guys you expect the most have not come through. And I think that's probably the only real disappointment or surprise. But they're just not throwing enough for that to happen. So I don't know. I think they just are. The defense is going to be middle of the pack. I thought with Roquan maybe a little higher than that, but he's been good but not great so far. So I'm not sure exactly. I don't know. I really haven't answered your question, but I just think they are where they are. I think the offense is a little bit slower than I thought, but you know, with this offensive line, it's going to be a slow go, and defensively. I think the biggest thing is that the rookies feel like and are playing, even when they're not good, they're playing like they belong. I think that's going to be a strength of this team, is that Brisker and Gordon are eventually going to be not just supporting pieces, but real kind of playmakers for this team by the end. So I think I feel probably best about that, about what's going to happen defensively.
All right, before we let you go, Potsy, I want to play you Mike Tirico from our show yesterday. Of course, he did Sunday Night Football. He's one of the best in the business. This was his take on the Bears overall, even though they did lose big to the Packers yet again on national TV. But he sort of calmed some Bears fans, and I want to find out if you agree with him. Take a listen.
Bigger picture, I'm more excited about the Bears than I was on Friday morning of last week. As I've gotten through all the study, talked to Eberflus, spent time around them, talked to polls a little bit, listen to our people who don't care either way, if it's good or a bad team, just everybody's impression, all of our football people who are around us. I talked to Robbie Harrison last night, Collinsworth and I nonstop for 3 days of dinners and breakfast and watching film. I feel really good about the foundation and the salary cap and all the stuff they're doing. It might not manifest itself in a record that shows it, but I feel pretty good about what this season can be for the Bears after we went through this week. The Bears have the potential to be better than they were last year because I think they're buying in. And I had not spent a ton of time with Matt Eberflus. I've been around him a little bit. After a long production meeting and talking to him and talking to the guys about him, I'm in. Like, if the Bears are a stock, I'm buying right now. And I'm going to hold it here for a few years.
Are you still buying their stock, Potsy?
I'm not sure, but I agree with most of that. I would buy their stock. I just wouldn't buy a lot of it, I guess. I think that's true. I said that all along. I think this is a foundation year, and I think there's nothing that tells me it isn't. And it's just one big question. Are they going to get the quarterback right? And we just haven't seen any signs that they're going to do that yet. So that's why I'm skeptical. But in general, this is the year that we thought it was going to be, as far as I'm concerned. You know, they've played two pretty good teams. You know, we got to realize they played two pretty good teams in the beginning. I think both those teams are going to be playoff teams and maybe even contenders. So, you know, let's see what happens the next 4 weeks. They got really, four winnable games, and let's see where they are. I think then you'll get a much bigger picture of where they're heading. But I think, to answer your question, I agree with that kind of upbeat. I think right now, I think they look like they're where they want to be. It's just not as far as maybe some fans want them to be. But, they're in that six. They're a 6 or 7 win team, you know, just like we thought at the beginning of the year.
Real quick, Potsy, are you buying what they're selling when they tell you, yeah, we're all in on Justin? Or do you think that this is a process of evaluation for Justin with them as well?
Oh, I agree. I think both. I think they are all in. I mean, they're doing everything they can. They're not trying to sabotage him or anything like that. But on the other hand, this is absolutely a big year for him. And if this doesn't get better, I think there's a really good chance that they'll move on. They want to see what they've got. It's just like with Roquan. Like I said, they looked at this roster from top to bottom. They want to see everybody, no matter how good you are, no matter how good you've been, no matter how good you could be. They want to see what they actually have, and I think that's a good thing. But to answer your question, I think they're definitely evaluating Justin Fields, and there's every possibility that they could move on. But again, that goes back to the same thing I said before, real quickly, Leo. Like, you know, then the criticism will be, well, you set him up to fail because you didn't give him enough support. So that's, we got to see how that plays out. That'll be real interesting after after what's happened the first 2 weeks.
Potsy, great work as always. We appreciate
Thanks,
it. Thank
Potsy.
You.
Great talking to you guys as usual.
There
Have a
go.
Great week.
You too, Mark Potash. Read him in the Sun Times. Really good stuff. He's been on the beat. If you want to react, 312-332-3776. Let's get to some of the fun stories and what's going on in sports inside Waddle's world. To 4 o'clock, it's always Can't Miss with Barstool Big Cat. We're live at Jewel Osco in the city on Milwaukee and Des Plaines, and it's brought to you by Connie's Frozen Pizza.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird.
Welcome to Waddle's World. Come inside.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird. Weird. Let's get weird.
Waddle's World brought to you by our great friends and partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit Wintrust.com/findus, member FDIC. There was some shenanigans after the Cleveland game, and there were shenanigans after the Arizona Raiders game as well.
Yeah, I saw that last night. So Kyler Murray got hit in the face by someone, like someone slapped him.
Yes.
So
they're looking for that person to arrest them. Also, a fan was arrested for allegedly throwing a water bottle at Cleveland Browns owner Jimmy Haslam in the final moments of Sunday's loss to the Jets. Jeff Miller, 51, arrested Sunday on complaints of assault, failure to comply with a lawful order, and disorderly conduct.
Yeah.
According to police.
If it was like a sex toy, then it would be Jeff Miller. But it was just a water bottle.
Yes.
So it was Jeff Miller.
I have not seen the first sex toy thrown onto the field in Buffalo. Buffalo's the place for that, right?
Is that like the new Detroit Red Wings throwing the octopus onto the ice?
You said octopus, right?
Yeah, is that what they do now? Do they?
Well, it's not. It hasn't quite reached those heights yet because usually it's just one or two on the field. It would be interesting, though, if you saw like 20 or 30 on the field all at once. I agree, Sylvie. Usually Buffalo, they refrain until the Patriots roll into town.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
I did not know that, Miller, that was actually a direct shot at the pass. I like it.
Where did that? How did it originate with the Patriots?
Well, I believe the old urban legend is that because Bill Belichick is on the sidelines, they throw sex toys that rhyme with Bildo.
Oh, really?
Ah, gotcha.
I didn't realize that Bildo was a name. I did not know that, but I like it.
I mean, that may or may not be true. I can't actually go and, you know, research if it actually is the reason why, but
we need an oral history.
Excuse me?
Of this.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Cleveland Browns running back Nick Chubb took the blame for Sunday's loss, said he should have gone down instead of scoring in the final 2 minutes.
He's a good player, though.
He's a fantastic player. There were a lot of fantasy ramifications. There were a lot of gambling ramifications.
Right.
With all that transpired on this.
Miller, you've got the waiver wire today, which Yurko claims is his. But isn't still, like, after 2 weeks, it's the good indicator between good football players and good fantasy players? Like, you could be both. There are a lot of guys who are both. But isn't Carson Wentz up there as far as one of the top fantasy quarterbacks right now?
And the way Washington is using him with they have a lot of talented skill players to complement him. And, you know, Terry McLaurin hasn't even been used a ton yet. They've got Curtis Samuel. They've got Jahan Dotson, the rookie wide receiver, and a couple of good running backs as well who they can throw to. So, yeah, you're right, Sylvie. You don't want him leading your favorite team, but your fantasy team,
yeah,
he may be good enough to get you by.
A lot of hockey news. I'll leave that to others that's crossed the hot list. I also see that the Bucks are set to sign Cole Beasley.
Yeah.
The 11-year vet will be added to the practice squad as the Bucks deal with injuries.
Remember what Gene Greco used to say? What are the Russian eggs? Is that what they're called?
Yes.
Where, like, you open up the big egg, and inside the big egg is Wes Welker. Then you open up Wes Welker. Inside of him is Julian Edelman. And then you open Julian Edelman, and there's Cole Beasley.
Yes, he will actually
Danny Woodhead used to be one of those, too.
Yes. He will be on the active roster when things kick in.
Yeah.
By the way, I have an update on the chess story I gave you.
With the anal beads?
Yeah, following the anal bead scandal, Chess Master rematch ends in resignation. Boy, it has been weed o'clock on several occasions.
Yeah.
You told me earlier, too,
I love
the
smell.
Really?
I have tried to become a weed guy. You know this from 2 years ago. Tried to become an edible guy. Didn't work for me, made me too tired. I love the smell, though.
Really?
I love that smell when someone's lighting that up.
It smells like skunk just ran by to me.
I think like a better skunk.
A little
skunk.
Less skunky?
Yeah.
A little less skunky.
More weedy, less skunky.
31-year-old Norwegian chess grandmaster Magnus Carlsen performed as close as you can to the digital equivalent of a table flip on Monday, closing his stream and walking away from his 19-year-old U.S. opponent, Hans Niemann, on his second move of their first actual match. It's just the latest rogue move in a long series of scandals that have rocked the chess world. While there's been accusations of cheating through devices as outlandish as anal beads, the rise of young chess players like Neiman likely has more connection to the rapidly expanding capacity of artificial intelligence and the ways players are learning the game just to keep up with the AI Joneses. So basically what they're doing is they're telling you is that the machines are taking over.
Yeah.
I have a really interesting story on that as well. And I'm sure Adam Abdallah has already seen
it. Makes you scared, right?
Horrifying warning issued over super AI that is impossible to control and could secretly plot to destroy humanity.
See, this is going to... I am starting to really buy what Abdallah's been selling. That this will be... There are many things that could bring us down. This may be the thing that does.
You think this is it?
I think
just social media, just in general, is going to be the.
Well, but that won't forever ruin the planet. Could they like go to war with us and wipe us out?
Well, I think that's the insinuation here in the Terminator films, which I don't remember most of them.
Oh, so good!
Super intelligent AI called Skynet tries to wipe out humanity using nukes and an army of killer robots.
See. They don't care. They don't have emotions.
According to a recent paper, it is now likely that an out-of-control AI will eventually wipe out our species from
the
planet.
That's right.
Researchers at Google and the University of Oxford say this will come about after machines learn they can break rules that are set by their creators.
So what do we do?
AI will reach this point as it's forced to compete for limited resources or energy. Researchers wrote in the journal AI Magazine last month.
But are we past the point of no return? Or is there a way we can shut this thing down?
This is not my area of expertise, but I don't think we're at that point just yet. I think we're trending. I think we're trending in the wrong direction.
We got to shut it down.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you're going to shut it down.
That's what I mean.
AI
it's too beneficial.
Yes.
They're,
would you buy a robot if they were available? Like, really one that could do stuff?
I don't think
stuff?
So. I don't think so.
Because you're scared or because they're... What if it was affordable and it would do things around the house that you don't want to do?
What about a Roomba? The one that just vacuums your floor?
Oh, those things don't work, do they?
Dude, I don't know. I've always wanted to...
Really?
Put my feet up, just watch it
vacuum.
I know
what I'm getting you for the holidays.
The Roomba? Yeah.
Just
I
want to know, put like, your feet up.
When I was a kid, yes. Like, the robot was, you watched the Jetsons, and you're like, I'm telling you, when I Barstool Big Cat, when I play their podcast, Pardon My Take, I tell Alexa, play Pardon My Take. You can do that with the ESPN 1000 as well. Play ESPN 1000. I catch myself often, Waddle, saying, this is amazing that I'm standing in my kitchen talking to a speaker, and it knows exactly what I want. I could rewind. I could fast forward. It's like the 13-year-old me is amazed.
Sylvie, no fear attached to it at all?
No, I'm not scared of Alexa. Are you?
Not scared, but just bothered by it.
What about you, Meller?
Yeah, no, I actually frequently unplug the...
I do too, Meller.
The Alexas,
when I walk by and I see that little light on it, I just got,
Google,
you know...
But do you think
Alexas,
that stops
it?
No, right. You're right.
Really?
You're right.
Do you think that stops
that's
it?
That's a really good question.
Tyler's
Probably.
Right. I'm sure that my TV is absolutely monitoring us because that's always
right.
plugged
right. Well, everyone's monitoring us. What do you really have to hide? Like, so you're... Oh, wait, you got big secrets going on there? What are you doing over there that you got to worry about Alexa?
I don't
What's
think
Alexa doing?
I don't think that's it. I think it's just there's a certain, you know, there's an assumption of privacy.
Yeah.
And
Sylvie, you know what it is? I have nothing to hide. But the truth is, it's one of those things that you kind of don't realize how comfortable sometimes you are at home. And you don't realize what you have out there. Like, how many times have you seen someone who is texting something absolutely ridiculous? Like, maybe they're stealing $5 million from the state to build a volleyball court somewhere. And you're like, why would you be texting that to people? That's ridiculous. And they're doing that. And you're like, well, you put it in a text. How stupid are you?
Like, we gave all this privacy up once we started carrying these things.
Well, that's true.
Didn't we? Like, we're done. I mean, like, the privacy is out the window.
Yeah. I mean, you could sit right now. Let's try.
I bet you I get a Roomba. You think I have a Roomba ad in my Instagram
now? Hey, I bet you have. I have some back soreness. Boy, I could really use like some some hot balm or something. You know, what is
you want
Shaq's,
some hot ball? What?
Hot balm.
Hot
what
balm.
Is, what is Shaq icy pitching?
Hot. Icy,
icy
hot.
Hot. Yep. Whoa, my back could probably use a little icy
so what,
hot.
So should
right
I open
now.
Up Instagram and see if I get a pop-up of something that we were just talking about?
I mean, doesn't
about?
That happen all the time?
I believe so, yes.
Oh, I could use some icy hot right now. My back's a little sore.
I've been
the louder I say it, is it more frequent or more likely
I don't
that
know.
I'm going to show
my
up?
My first ad that came up was Happy Dad. New fruit punch flavor. That's a, some sort of a
it's
beverage.
A lotion for your groin.
Let's see what else they got day. Here. Let's see another ad. Keep going. You can keep talking.
By the way, a brothel is offering a free lunch special with the purchase of a quickie. You got to go to Australia for this.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Queensland, Australia. Last month, Harlot's Brothel posted an on their Facebook page for a lunchtime meal deal. Yeah. Pie and Coke deal, reads the ad. Enjoy a feed. Enjoy a feed and a 15-minute quickie, all for about $100 U.S. That's what they're telling you.
I got no ads about
nothing?
Hot bomb. I got nothing on the Rumba.
Nothing quick, no Cizo quickie sound? Related.
But you do have some discounted offers from Southwest on trips to Australia all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Of course.
Yeah.
By the way, remember the story I told you about the woman who brought the raccoon into the North Dakota bar?
Yes.
She got arrested. Somebody has set up a GoFundMe page for her to get her out of jail.
Now, we are by Jewel. I'm sorry on the update.
No, you're good.
We are by Jewel, and I have an ad on Instagram for Stouffer's.
Is that just because they've honed in on your location?
I don't know. That's a good question. Like, how is this working? Why I don't eat Stouffer's of
yeah,
this. Like,
yeah, I think they took a look at you and realized that a big, giant bowl of mac and cheese is probably right up your alley.
They're like, look at that double chin right there as he's sitting outside of Jewel. Let's pop in some Stouffer's ads for him.
So if you walk by the Alexa at your house just in the middle of the day and you say something like that, like, ah, oh, man, I wish I could lose about 10 pounds or take the Vicks Vapor Rub. It's not for your muscles. No.
I know. We got close.
What if you said, like, ah, I got this double chin I need to get rid of? Do you think all of a sudden, next thing you know, your thing's going to...
Vitamins. I got some vitamins.
No. I don't think our
now it's not
our science experiment.
All right, so maybe they won't wipe us out. They're not really as in tune as we thought they
were. Well, no, I mean the robots are. Have you seen some of the stuff that the robots do?
Oh, I know, and they're starting to learn.
Yeah, like they could go to hand-to-hand combat.
Oh, I know. Yeah. When I see those dogs, those army dogs, those the army robot dogs, that scares me.
Yeah. It all scares me as well. All right, we come back it's an interesting story about asserting your ownership for your home and not getting evicted. They're suggesting in Vancouver you do something personal, and I'd like to bring that to you.
Okay.
So if there's any point in your life where you feel like you may get evicted, this may come in handy for you, okay? That's coming next.
Welcome back to Jewel Osco on Des Plaines and Milwaukee in Chicago. This is the Waddle and Sylvie Show, brought to you by Connie's Frozen Pizza. Stop by or listen live on the ESPN Chicago app on FM at 100.3 HD2 or ESPN 1000.
I have a number of interesting stories. First of all, how about a couple of shout-outs? Honey Bear is here, and it's her birthday. So happy birthday to Honey Bear.
Honey Bear has supported this show for almost all, I think, 15 years.
Yes.
She's a teacher and does great work, and she has brought the Honeymobile.
And a lawn chair and an umbrella.
Is it the Bear's Mobile? Is it the Honey Bear's Mobile? The Honey Wagon.
All right.
She's got the Bear. I'll tweet out a picture of that.
And also, shout out to Gino from Logan Square.
He couldn't be here. Someone who knows Gino.
Listens all the time.
Yeah, and so, you know, look, you know me. I hate when I don't get a shout-out, so I'm not going to leave someone hanging.
Amen.
Without a shout-out.
The
Bears also today, too, get some of their guys nominated, the preliminary nominations for the Hall of Fame.
Oh,
you
got to
double-check
that. Olin, Peanut, Lance.
And Hester. Yeah, so.
I would think... Does Peanut get in eventually?
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
I hope with the turnover and again, when you analyze what he revolutionized of the Peanut Punch is a real thing.
Peanut.
The Peanut Punch, right. Not the Matt Nagy singing at the Cubs game punch.
Yeah.
This is the Peanut Punch where it's a national thing now. Whenever someone knocks out the ball in the form of a punch, it is known as the Peanut Punch.
Yes, it's used on every broadcast.
Right, when you create a move, you should be in the Hall. And, like, all those takeaways. Weeder and I have argued nonstop about this. He does not think Peanut is Hall of Fame worthy. I think he's got to be a little more open-minded. So I am saying Peanut goes in.
Okay. You know what? I would tend to side with you. This is a story that Jeff Meller gave to me yesterday, I believe. Man, how do I say this?
Man what? Man? Oh, no. Wow, deodorant?
Deodorant.
Successful. Deodorant can?
It was successful. Why are you so reluctant? Successful surgery.
Well, the surgery was successful. How about this? This is the way we'll approach the story. Surgeons in India successfully removed an 8-inch deodorant can from a man's backside that had been there for three weeks.
He's like, look, I've done everything here. I've tried wipes. I've tried standard toilet paper. Nothing will take away the smell, so I need this deodorant.
Was it Meller?
Up my can.
You gave me
the can up my can.
You gave me the story about the guy who had the, like, it was like a cup, right, that was taken from his stomach. And the only way that they could have gotten it, he could have gotten it there, was reverse technology, so to speak.
Yeah, you can't swallow that, you wouldn't
right.
think.
Right, that was a story that came from India as well, right?
And the thing was, I said, I'm not quite keeping tabs on where all these successful surgery stories are coming from.
And then have a attack in there.
But he's got a...
And what do you say? Well, you were like, why is all of this happening in India?
Yes.
And I said, look, based on the analytics, it's simply the fact that 1.4 billion people are in India. So I think you're just playing the math here, the probability.
Yes, that was fantastic.
It was. Meller, you and I were like, it's just a comedy duo right there, setting it up.
He even hushed me.
Yeah.
To let that breathe so you can get that one.
Yeah, well done, Meller.
Listen,
by the way,
we have to give courtesy to, we have a little writer over there, Honey Bear. She helped us craft
she
that
did.
One.
Oh, really?
She deserves credit for that. And finally, the Beyond Meat COO, Doug Ramsey, arrested on suspicion of biting a man's nose.
That's Beyond Meat, all right.
During a fight following an Arkansas football game, police arrested the company's COO, Ramsey, on charges of terroristic threatening and third-degree battery. On Saturday, he was released on an $11,000 bond. The driver of a Subaru that he got involved with told the police that Ramsey pulled him in close and started punching his body. He also bit the driver, ripping the flesh off the tip of his nose.
Just the tip. All right, so there you go. That was a fun-filled Waddles World right there. The analytics.
A lot of stuff.
Very good, Meller.
A lot of stuff.
All right, coming up next, Barstool Big Cat for Can't Miss Radio. I have a bit of news for him that will make him feel better. Some good news coming out of Lambeau Field that will make him feel better about what I witnessed there. Barstool Big Cat joins us next. We're live at Jewel Osco and Milwaukee and Des Plaines, and it's all brought to you by our friends at Connie's Frozen Pizza.